This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is David Cohn. The Michael K. Show starts now. Don't screw it up, boys.
Thank you, David, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Friday, September 24th, 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, we're all apart, but we're together for the next 4 hours. The other 20, that is your responsibility. I am coming to you live from Boston's Fenway Park, where tonight the Yankees and the Red Sox play a series that can decide whether or not the Yankees are in the playoffs or not at the end of a week and a half. Right now they are in the playoffs. The Blue Jays helped out yesterday by losing to the Twins. So the Yankees are full game up in the loss column, half a game, obviously, in the standings. Oh, no, it's a full game completely. And the Yankees are two games back of the Red Sox. So tonight it's a three-game set beginning with Nathan Eovaldi on the mound for the Red Sox and Gerrit Cole for the Yankees. So we're in three different states. Is it euphoria, state of depression, or is it Massachusetts, New Jersey, and New York? Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, great.
I'm so relieved that you're at the ballpark.
Why?
Finally, you can call the game in person and baseball can be baseball again, you know?
I saw you made the mistake of going back and forth with people on Twitter. Not a good idea. It's the cause célèbre. You can't do the game correctly on a monitor. It has to be there live. So, I mean, I'm glad that I'm here. Obviously, it's a big game, a big series, but
I want to ask you. I'm sure you feel a certain palpable energy there, and that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But I watch a lot of games. Watch you guys a lot. Watch other teams a lot. I mean, here and there. I don't notice it, but. Do you feel a palpable energy just being back on a fall day at Fenway?
Well, not really. I mean, there's nobody here, obviously. So, maybe it'll happen as they start to come in. But the place is going to be jammed. The weather is not cooperating because it's kind of rainy. But we'll see. As we move closer to the game, I think you'll get more of a buzz. So, and obviously, you could see things with your eyes that you really Right. can't see beautifully on a monitor. But, I mean, the people that say that there's a real stark difference. I don't agree. I thought it was brilliant calling a no-hitter over a monitor. So, again, I'm being humble, though.
Well, I just didn't, and some people are just, you know, like, just completely lost on the opinion. You know, for someone to say, well, now this game is, you know, baseball is being treated like a big-time sport. Like that's the reason why Yes and SNY weren't at the ballpark. They were trying to lessen the importance of the game and lessen the importance of the sport. So give me a break. I mean, it's happened in every sport. I mean, I'm probably going to be calling the games off the monitor for the Rangers this year, at least to start the season. The Jets are also doing it off the monitor. Does that make their games less? Does that mean the NFL is in some sort of minor league? There is a pandemic going on, okay? So these organizations are making certain decisions because they feel they're doing what they believe is right, following certain protocols that companies call down to, not to diminish the product, but also just acknowledging the safety hazards of having people travel, having crews travel, having large amounts of people in confined spaces. They just need to get a little bit more educated on what they're covering in a column in the New York Post.
Well, it's also interesting that, you know, everybody's going to pin it on the Yankees or the Yes Network. The Dodgers have not moved from Dodger Stadium. And Joe Davis.
You mean they're doing the same thing?
Absolutely the same thing. They have not even gone to San Francisco or San Diego. They do everything from Dodger Stadium. And one time on a road game, they had to do it from a warehouse because there was a concert at Dodger Stadium. So the Dodgers and the Yankees are the two biggest teams in baseball. And this is the first time that we're on the road. And I don't think the Dodgers will have a road game that they will be at all year. The Mets did the Washington series, and that was simply for SNY to test out the coordinates because it's a brave new world, everybody. A lot of the producers and directors around baseball, even if the announcers do travel next year, are not going to be traveling. They'll be in some facility with all monitors and things like that. So the Mets were testing out, you know, the future of next year when they sent Gary, Keith, and Ron to Washington. This I think is just a decision because of the enormity of the series, but you know, also we're testing things out as well. Hey, right. It's a different world. And let's be honest, companies are finding ways to save money after losing a lot last year.
All right. And then that obviously is something that could be attacked, I guess, if you wanted to have the opinion that that's not something that an organization could do. All right, fine. That's the angle that if you want to take that, that's fine. But I think you just need to realize, you want to try to be slow with it, because eventually everything is going to go back to normal. So you got to try to test it. The proximity of New York to Boston probably helped. And so you can. This is the great way to test to see if it could all go well. I mean, there were times last year, Michael,
yep,
doing Ranger games, where I was asked at the last second to call a game because Steve Cangelosi, the play-by-play voice of the Devils on television, ended up getting COVID, and then Kenny had to last second fill in for him. And then there were times Kenny had to go fill in for the Nick crew because somebody tested positive in their crew, and then I got called at the last second to fill in for Kenny. Those things are a lot easier to do when everybody's in the same place. If the Rangers are in Vancouver and the Knicks are in Memphis, then it becomes impossible to do. So as long as the protocols are you test positive, you get pulled, isn't it a lot easier to have everybody in the same place? So these are things that have to be thought about before you just start throwing out ridiculous, ignorant opinions.
Now, you also you were watching The View today. They pulled two people off The View in the middle of a segment?
Yes, two of the hosts were pulled off in the middle of the segment because they tested positive. Now, why a positive test would come out while they're already on the air, I don't know. I don't, but we've seen that in sports too. And Kamala Harris was in studio, Peter.
Yeah.
Sonny Austin and the other host, her name escapes me, in the middle of the segment on a live television show, had to be pulled off, and then they had to interview Kamala Harris, the vice president of the United States, from a separate studio. So a lot of people want to just think this is over. But there's a lot of moving parts that working remotely helps things. And I think that the travel aspect of it is also one thing. Again, if somebody on the Knick crew tests positive and they pull them out and they're in Memphis, well, how else is somebody going to be able to do the game unless it's being done remotely? So until somebody can work through testing positive, until we get to that point and the protocols change, this is obviously the logical step that have been taken by all these professional sports.
I the thing that irritated me about the article today, the mention of, oh, baseball's bad, that yes is finally treating baseball, like it means something. It's yes, there's the element you're saying, Don, about, like, first of all, COVID is real, and it's reasonable that places have not quite figured out yet how they want to do it. And being that this season started in April, they were not there yet, and they're just seeing this season through the way that they were. That to me makes perfect sense. But beyond that, what bothers me, I guess, is just like, why is this the drum you want to beat? It's just not that interesting. It's not interesting. I consume every version of sports and sports entertainment imaginable. The places that are doing commentary not on site, it's not noticeable. If it's ever noticeable, it's negligible, and it's just not interesting.
But
like, how bored are you? It just seems to me conjured up. That's all.
Andrew's entitled to his opinion. Just why don't you talk to some people that are involved in it? Get some ins and outs on why it's the case, and then maybe you would have a little bit of a different opinion. Maybe you wouldn't, but I don't think MSG or Yes or SNY is solely doing it because they're trying to make up for the money they lost last year. That might be a part of it, but there's a lot of other moving parts that I don't think a lot of people realize go into sending somebody off to do a broadcast remotely.
All right, let's talk some sports now rather than television. We've got a big football weekend, and we'll start off with the baseball, though, and we'll start with the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Well, here are the numbers, everybody. The Yankees are two back of the Red Sox, so they're in here for three games. If they take two of three, which is a good series, right, they're still behind them. So they would be one behind with six left to go, three against Toronto Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and then three against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay and Houston are still battling to see who's going to have the best record in the American League. Houston is three back, and Tampa Bay still has a series with Houston. So that final weekend for Tampa Bay actually might mean something. Now, you can also look around and go, there could be some maneuvering done here. Wouldn't Tampa Bay rather play the White Sox than the winner of the, let's say, the Yankees and the Red Sox? Wouldn't they rather that? Isn't the White Sox an easier draw, especially when you look at how much they've struggled? Anyway, that's in the future. So the Yankees now have Gerrit Cole on the mound against Nathan Eovaldi. Now, Nathan Eovaldi has pitched well against the Yankees all year. This is his sixth start against the Yankees. And this is the number that jumps out at you about Garrett. He's 0-2 with a 7.20 ERA in two starts at Fenway Park. Now, he's coming off a really bad start against the Indians. I ran out and ran into some Yankee fans outside at Fenway when I came into the ballpark, and they said, well, he's got to step up big. This is why they gave him the money. You know, money and performance doesn't always, like, you know, jive. Just because you get paid a lot doesn't mean that you're going to come up big in this spot. Now, obviously, if you get paid a lot, people are expecting you to be a great pitcher, which he is, but money does not dictate how he's going to perform tonight. He's had a Cy Young Award type of year. At this point, I'd say Robbie Ray is probably a smidgen ahead of him, but this is a big test for him right now because you're going to be judged on how you pitch in these games. And the next two starts, this one and Wednesday, against the Toronto Blue Jays are going to be a referendum on what type of year that Gerrit Cole has. Now, if Gerrit Cole pitches seven shutout innings and the Yankees end up losing out of the bullpen, that's not Gerrit Cole's fault. But if he, you know, if he gets knocked out after three innings and gives up six runs, then you can say Gerrit Cole didn't pitch well in what right now is probably the biggest start of the year for him. And then Wednesday, it could be supplanted as the biggest start of the year. A friend of mine, Tony Maserati, who does an afternoon show on WEEI in Boston, said, well, what do you think about this series? What do you think is going to happen? And my answer to him was this. I don't know. I have not been able to figure out the Yankees all year. They're maddening. And I told them this. They can easily come into Boston and sweep the Red Sox. I would not be surprised. And they could easily come into Boston and lose all three games. And I would not be surprised. I just don't have a feel. They've got everything set up. Their hitters are set up. Their health is set up. Their bullpen is in as good a shape as it's been for the last month or so. So we'll see. They come in on a three-game winning streak. The Red Sox come in on a seven-game winning streak. And I think this is going to be a referendum on these two teams. Nobody expected the Red Sox to be here this year. They've surprised. No one expected the Yankees to be battling to get into a wild card. So that's a surprise as well. And looming right outside, ready to jump into the fray, is the Toronto Blue Jays. So if the Yankees lose a couple of games and the Blue Jays end up bouncing back and taking the next three against the Twins, then those three games in Toronto dictate whether or not the Yankees are going to make the postseason. I think what this series is going to dictate is whether or not the Yankees could finish first and host a game at Yankee Stadium. So there's a lot of balls in the air on this one, and I think it's going to be a fascinating series. I really do.
Yeah, and I think tonight is so huge because of who's on the mound. And I know momentum isn't supposed to mean anything in baseball, but even if you threw out, well, the reason there's no momentum is because it's all about the next day starting pitcher. Well, the next 2 days, the Yankees do not start pitchers as good as Gerrit Cole. Right? Cortez has been terrific. Montgomery's been good, but they're not Cole. Cole was brought here to win the big game. And you're right, Michael. If he has eight shutout innings and the game's scoreless and the bullpen coughs it up, you can't say he didn't do his job. But the Yankees are still around a 500 team when he pitches.
Right.
So if you don't win tonight, then I think that puts a lot of pressure, certainly, on Cortez tomorrow. And then you start to wonder, is everything starting to build here? Because then that would be eight straight wins for Boston. And now you're another game behind Boston. And now if Toronto wins tonight, then you're back tied with them. Like, everything hinges day to day. If you get this game, now you've won four in a row. And now it takes a little bit of pressure off the next day's starting pitcher where it, you know, becomes a must-win for them. So I think because it's Cole, because you've got a red-hot Red Sox team here, a Yankee team that's been streaky with a chance to win tonight to now make it four in a row that can make you think that now they're in the midst of another streak that'll carry them to the playoffs. A lot of that goes away if you lose tonight. I think this is a huge, huge game to just set the tone for this series and for the final nine.
Now, I agree with you with the tone setting because if they lose and Gerrit Cole gets hit, that's not a good look. It's just not a good look. And then they have to wonder, well, that's our best pitcher. And although Nestor Cortez has been great, Gerrit Cole is the guy. He's the ace of the staff. So I think he knows he has to come in and put a big-time performance. And if he doesn't, you're right, Don, it could make them think. Forget about what the fans think. It could make them think exactly, well, what team is showing up in Boston? Now, the last time the Yankees met the Red Sox, they swept them. And I pulled up some of these numbers today. The Red Sox play really well against bad teams. They're 31-15 against bad teams. Against the American League division leaders at this point, they're 13-20. But they're 13-6 in September. They are 10-6 against the Yankees this year, so they'll win the season series. So against all the wild card teams that are battling now, the A's, the Mariners, the Blue Jays, and the Yankees, the Red Sox are 27-21. So we'll see. We'll see exactly how this plays out because, you know, I was talking to some people today and they said the Mets didn't even show up for the two games. So it's like, okay, they won seven in a row, but the Mets didn't show up. The Mets just looked terrible. They were dropping fly balls. They just looked out of the game. So that wasn't a real test for the Red Sox. This is a test. The Yankees just won three straight against Texas, although they didn't hang on the rim winning those three games. Two of them were very difficult and right down to the wire. We'll see how these two teams react in what is their biggest series of the year. I mean, the Red Sox are in the driver's seat because they have two games in the loss column. The Yankees, if they want to get the number one selection in the wild card and host the game on October 5th at Yankee Stadium, it behooves them to sweep. Now, let's be honest with everybody. Do you think they're going to sweep at Fenway Park? We'll see. It's going to be tough. I think it's a tough, tough thing for them to do. And the weather is going to be calling into question as well. I think they're going to try to get these games in because it's not fair to the enormity of the game to play a doubleheader and have two seven-inning games.
Right.
You just don't want that, Don. It's a bad look that you could decide a postseason outcome with a minor league length game.
But it also would look awful, too, Michael, if they're playing in a monsoon to avoid the embarrassment of having to play 2-7 games. So either way, you look embarrassed if you're fighting through that.
Is there any pitching advantage to the Yankees ending up in a doubleheader?
Well, I mean, this game can't be rained out, Peter, for the Yankees. Because if this game gets rained out, then Cole can't pitch against the Blue Jays on normal rest. He's going to have to go on 3 days rest. And if he goes on 3 days, like if they make up the game tomorrow, if he goes on 3 days rest and then they have to win the last game of the season, then he's got to go on 3 days rest again. So you want him at his optimum.
So this could basically throw Gerrit Cole off all the way into a first-round playoff series.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And also you're going to get a lesser Gerrit Cole if he's working on 3 days rest rather than normal. So now everybody keeps asking me, what do they have to do? Most people seem to have landed on if they're 6-3, they can win it. Well, I think that the Blue Jays losing yesterday gives the Yankees a little breathing room, but I'd feel more comfortable at 7-2. 7-2, I think they're definitely in. 6-3, it's going to be interesting. And, you know, for a while there, Fangraphs was projecting the first wild card would be 92 games. Well, if the Yankees would go 6-3, that would be 92 games. But that's why I always say be careful about hanging on those percentages and, you know, the projections, because they change on a game-to-game basis. They change on a game-to-game basis because you can make the scenario out that the Yankees go 6-3 and they don't make it. So that would be that the team that finished out of the wild card would have 92. So that means that the Red Sox probably have 93 or the Blue Jays would have 93. So these nine games, you want to make it easy, you want to have it in your control, win all nine. But that's unlikely. But that's the way. If you win all nine, you are hosting a wild card game on October 5th at Yankee Stadium. No questions asked. Nobody could do anything else.
Well, if that were to happen, Michael, you're talking about closing out the regular season on a 12-game winning streak. That would completely change everybody's perceptions of this team. But because I said it yesterday, you're going to have to do your damage in these next six because, again, Toronto plays Baltimore the last three. The Red Sox play the Nationals the last three. You're not going to get any help in the last three. Even if the Rays don't care about those games, Michael, you're not going to really make up any ground the last three. So in these six games is where you've got to make up the ground or at least keep what you have. You have the one-game lead on the Blue Jays. You can't afford to lose it. Otherwise, you're going to need help. If you want to catch the Red Sox and get that game at Yankee Stadium, you got to take care of it here. Otherwise, what help are you going to get in those final three? So you got to do your damage now in these next six.
Well, that is the Pinstripe Report on what should be a very interesting weekend in Boston, brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Try Truly Hard Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram sugar, 5% alcohol, and 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, please drink responsibly. Also, we want to set you up with Game Time. Game Time is brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Yankees, Red Sox tonight. Mets and Milwaukee. Mets and Milwaukee, baby. Then we have the Jets. against the Broncos on Sunday, and then we have the Giants against the Falcons on Eli Manning number retirement day, also Sunday. That's at MetLife Stadium. Those are all the games that we're invested in. That's Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. We've got some heavy lifting to do today. We really do.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
I mean, we've got a lot of stuff to cover. We've got picks to make. And I'm kicking myself, guys. Kicking myself.
Me too.
You know how painful that is? Because of Carlin, right? Big fella. In the back of my mind, I was taking Carolina and giving the 8 yesterday. I was going to do it. And then we got involved with Carlin and all his reindeer games, and I never did it. Don told me he was thinking the same way. Now, it would have just been a one-point pick for me, but, you know, all I could do is say I missed an opportunity.
Shut up, fatty. Time to move on.
But I have a feeling, Peter, that if Michael made that pick, we would have jumped on board as well. That would have opened the floodgates. It would just been a question of whether I would have made it more than a one-point pick. I don't think I would have. So I'll look at it as we wouldn't have gained any ground because I think we would have both jumped on that.
Well, the hard part for me is I was so dialed in and rooting for Sam because now I have this conquest, this battle against people who are hating on Sam and me praying that he proves to everyone he's great. I was so dialed in anyway that I was like, man, I wish this was a three-point pick of mine. I'm
were
already here for the ride.
Were you thinking 3-point?
Yes. Well, remember, that was the one consideration I had was how fun would it be to just go for it all tonight? But I didn't. Isn't it funny how that number seems so big, and then you start watching the game and you go, this is going to be nothing.
But I'll tell you what, though, Peter. If you made that a 3-point pick, you're sweating. So I was listening on the car ride to Boston, and you know it's an 8-point lead for a while. And then they have the ball, and they're driving, and then they punt it away, and then the Panthers score, right? The Panthers score, and then the Texans get back the ball, and you figure, okay, they're up 15. If they score right there, I mean, what's the incentive for Carolina to really tamp down their defensively? You'd have been sweating that right until the last when they didn't get the ball on fourth down.
There were a few spots to sweat. There was also the moment when it looked like Rule was going to go for it on fourth for a second time.
Right.
And not get the points. And instead he ended up settling and they extended the lead. But I'll tell you what, Don, let's keep the convo going. Week 3, 3-0, 300 yards, rushed for 2 touchdowns, made no mistakes, had some really good moments where he threw away the ball when there was nothing available. Sam, again, he's not Joe Montana, but he looks like a different human being in the pocket right
now. Looks
good. And he, Don, is it me or does he look quicker taking off too? He just looks good.
And he lost a major weapon for the entire second half.
Oh, yeah, he can only win with McCaffrey. Well, McCaffrey was gone after a quarter.
He might be out for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's becoming a problem.
Yeah, since they gave him the money, he has not been on the field a lot. All right, so we've got some stuff to do. 1-800-919-3776. Tannenbaum in the 5 o'clock hour. Rick DiPietro is going to represent DiPietro on Rothenberg at the end of the 5 o'clock hour to make the show pick against us. We're leading, by the way, because we're great. Marty Lyons is going to join us as well. He is bestowing quite an honor on the three of us, and he'll talk about that as well, and we're very, very proud. So Marty will join us in the 4 o'clock hour. So there's a lot of stuff to do. And anything that's happening at Yankees, Red Sox, I'm all over it. I'm here. I'll get the news right away, and I'll get it right to you. So we got you set up, baby. We do. A big, big Friday. It's Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save, kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to the phones. I am here at Fenway Park. Don and Peter are at their stations as well.
That's right.
Stations in life. Not ours. That's another thing. I don't know why people, like, why are you guys not in the studio? Because we're not allowed. You get that a lot, Don? Why are you not in the studio?
When
because we're not allowed. It's not open.
It's not open. If I wanted to, the only way I'd be allowed at the studio for me would be for a Ranger game. And even then, Michael, before vaccination, I'd have to get tested to go into the building. And now I think the protocol will be that I'm vaccinated, I'd be able to go in.
Can
I? So even if we wanted to, we couldn't do the show from there. But I got news for you. If we were all in the studio together, what you're seeing right now on Yes, those three boxes,
same thing.
Would be the exact same thing.
Yeah, I don't. That is something that puzzles me. And let me just, you know, let me double down on the honesty. ESPN is not open. If it was open, I wouldn't be in a rush to get back. I'm doing two shows a day. It makes my life so much better to be doing it from home. And I get to perform on the shows the same way. It's an awesome thing that a lot of people have gotten to figure out. The people who have been fortunate that are able to do jobs from home, it's a bonus. Why do people want to fight it so badly?
And also, this show is so equipped to do it this way because, as Don always said, we've been apart for 20 years for half the year. So this, I mean, Don and I could finish each other's sentence.
Yeah, 6 months out of the year, we're separated.
I mean, the only thing we're going to miss is Kayville. We'll set up individual ones at our homes.
Hey, I agree with Peter to a certain extent, but I do miss going in, having lunch, getting to see people. I do enjoy the people that I work with, and I miss them dearly. But this is just life, and I can also blow the whistle on a lot of people. I got news for you. People that you've been listening to for years on this station, on The Fan, all around the country, not in the studio.
You mean prior to this?
Doing it from home.
Oh, yeah. Prior to
a lot of them are doing it from home. And you would have no idea.
It's just that it's become a thing. Like, why are you guys not, like, why do you care? The show's not any different.
I really think it's because that would mean we're one step closer to getting back to normal. And I think people really want that.
I don't think it's that. I think it's deeper than that.
Well, those are the only people that I'm willing to accept their opinion or care. How about that?
All right. Good enough. Let's go to the phones. let's go to Ed in Corum. Ed.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. We love the show. My wife and I watch it every day.
Thank you.
All right.
Can I speak to Mike?
Yeah, oh, sure. He's here.
You're talking
to him.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I don't profess to be a professor of baseball, but I've been watching the Yankees since the 40s. I'm 80 years old.
Okay.
And I think there's a couple of things that I have an opinion on that I think would help the Yankees. I don't care whether you're managing in football, baseball, or in sales, which I did for my life. The main thing and the most important thing is that you get 110% out of the people that are under you. And I'd like your opinion. I don't think Aaron... We all agree he's a great guy, he's a nice guy, but I don't see where he's gotten anything close to that number. And the same thing with the pitching coach. I've never seen where the Yankees blew so many games at the end of the game. The closers just aren't there. The other thing that
let me stop you for 1 second. Why is it the coach's fault? Why is it not the player's fault?
Because the coach's job is to get that extra out of the players. Mm-hmm. That's their function.
Ed, I'm sorry, I respectfully disagree. I mean, listen, when you say they're not trying hard, that's nonsense. It's nonsense. When teams don't score, they look like they're not trying hard. When they score, oh, look, they tried hard today. It's chicken and the egg. It's ridiculous. They play hard. Now, I've seen ridiculous statements about Giancarlo Stanton not running hard. That's all he can run. That's it. That's what he can run. He can't bust it down the line. He can't hustle it into a double. That's his leg situation. He can't do it. Aaron Judge runs hard all the time down the line. And when Gleyber Torres didn't run hard down the line, you know what they did? They took him out of the game. So it's not – I love what Hal Steinbrenner said a month and a half ago. It's the players. Players have to play better. Now, I know the coaches have a responsibility, but the players have to play better. You mean it's Matt Blake's fault and Mike Harkey's fault that for a month and a half, Aroldis Chapman couldn't pitch? I mean, come on.
Well, but But I think you're being a little too, like, dismissive of the point. Because all we do in sports, Michael, is compliment coaches to get more out of their players. Didn't we do it all basketball season with Thibodeau, who basically had the same roster as the year before he got there and was able to get that team into the playoffs? Did we praise Joe Girardi for going to the playoffs with the Florida Marlins back in the day? I mean, that's all we do is just say, I don't know how that coach got that effort out of those players. So I'm with you. I don't think it should be the defining moment, but we do judge managers on what they get out of their players.
But let me ask you this, though. You think the Yankees haven't tried this year? You think they're not hustling?
Or
no. They just this is the team. They're a plodding, home run waiting team. And when they seem like they were hustling, you know what they were playing? Greg Allen, Jonathan Davis, Andrew Velasquez, and Tyler Wade. Guys that run. So when they look plodding, you know why? They're plodding. That's why this year, you want to know how they're going to do this weekend? If they hit home runs, they'll win. If they don't, they won't. Home runs don't look like you're trying. It's not hustling out a triple. I'm not going to put that on Aaron Boone. Let's go to Steve in Brooklyn. Steve.
Hey, gentlemen, thanks for taking the call. I mentioned Andrew. I usually say I'm Steve from Florida, but now I'm Steve from Brooklyn again.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back.
I moved. My wife and I are over a certain age. We moved to Florida, and we talked about this once on the phone. Michael, you were saying, "Well, why'd you move to Florida?" And I didn't want to really get into it.
I remember
You know, the whole thing. But the whole thing is, you know, you get to a certain age, you're supposed to move to Florida. We were there for 3 years. We came back, and we're actually renting an apartment in our old neighborhood. But the point of the story is, for your purposes and for the audience, is that you guys were my sports lifeline for New York. I couldn't really listen to any, I mean, I could if I wanted to go online and all that stuff, but you were my lifeline, especially during COVID and a lot of other things, because most of our family and friends are up here. And you guys did a hell of a job with that, and you kept me going. I began to watch NFL football games, and I'm not an NFL fan. I had to watch games now to make sure I knew what the hell you guys were talking about.
What a good man. That's cool.
During the week.
Thank you, Steve.
I have just one other mention. It was a subject early in the week about Yankee fans shouldn't root for the Mets, and Mets shouldn't root for the Yankees. My short story is this. First game of the 1969 World Series, Don, and my Mets lost. My uncle, who is not a baseball fan, called me up, and he said, you must be pretty upset. The Mets lost today. And I said, I'm a Yankee fan. You know that. And I was all about 14 or 15 years old. I'm a Yankee fan. I'm an American League fan. I'm rooting for the Baltimore Orioles. And my uncle said, there was silence on the phone. My uncle said, do you live in the American League or do you live in Brooklyn, New York?
Well, Steve, tell your uncle he was wrong.
Yeah.
Couldn't be more wrong.
I hope they lose.
The players that you're rooting for are not from New York, most of them. Andrew Velasquez is from New York. So that's a ridiculous sentiment. And I'm sorry. Yankee fans shouldn't be rooting for the Mets, and Mets fans should never be rooting for the Yankees. That's just the way of life, man.
Well, I would ask him, Michael.
I didn't want to give him, you know, co-host status.
But watch the 30
for
30.
Close.
Watch the 30 for 30 with the Mets and what happened with Once Upon a Time in Queens. And tell me that as a Yankee fan, you enjoyed that. You enjoyed hearing that the Mets owned the town. You enjoyed hearing that the Mets were the best team in baseball. Why would you enjoy that? You live in that. That comes at your expense. I wish I could be that person to just be like, well, they let them do what they do. I'm worried about me. But when you share the same radio stations and the same newspapers and you go to work with fans, I would think there's going to be that rivalry back and forth. Who's better?
Unbelievable.
Bragging rights.
You once said it best. If you root for both of them, you never be disappointed, right? You always get something to fall back on.
You can still be disappointed. Plenty of years.
If they both stink.
Right.
Wayne in Middle Island. Wayne.
Michael, how's it going?
Good.
I called a couple of years ago because Don was wearing the same sweater 2 days in a row, and we had a conversation about that. But I have a little, conflict with your outfit today.
Why is that?
The Red Sox are wearing yellow jerseys and blue hats, and you're wearing the same colors.
Oh, please. Wayne, I really hope that you're being facetious. I wear what I think I look great in, and by the way, I made a great choice today.
Oh, stop!
Oh, my goodness.
This is
oh my god, this show's off the rails already.
Well, this is what you want. This is it. This is what we get.
Yeah, they're gonna wear those uniforms until they lose, right?
Yep. But I shouldn't wear my beautiful suit because the Red Sox were in a certain color. They're the Red Sox. If they want to co-opt the Boston Marathon's colors, good for them. Now, if I wore a red tie, if you were half serious, okay, you could say something. But come on. Really, don't waste my time.
I'm sure that didn't even enter your mind this morning when you got dressed.
No, not at all. I was standing there nude, and I'm picking out what I was going to wear, and I never thought the Red Sox were wearing yellow and blue. Totally nude. That's how I made the decision.
And I never wore the same sweater 2 days in a row. Who does that?
He thinks you do.
I didn't.
Be Water, my friends, just tweeted out, Michael is contemplating retirement after the last two callers. And then they have a picture of me resting my hand on my head, and Michael really enjoying today's callers.
I don't know if he was making that call while watching on Yes, but wow, that you really sent the word picture there.
Here's your shot to qualify for the Week 3 Pigskin Payout, everybody. It's your chance to play in the 98.7 Sportsbook and win $250 or up to $1,000 for correctly picking the Big Blue and Atlanta Falcons game. Be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN to qualify, and we'll be selecting the winner today, so keep it locked in for your Pigskin Payout. Here's how it works. The spread on that game is currently the Giants -3. So you can play it a little safer and pick New York on the money line for a chance to win $250, or you could take them with the spread for a chance to win $1,000. Yeah, baby. That's what I'm talking about. Come back. More scintillating phone calls, and then we'll talk some football as well. Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Well, this portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Try Truly Hard Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram sugar, 5% alcohol, and 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company. Please drink responsibly. Don and Peter, I know that you will not join me on this, but I mean, I think we'd all agree that the first slew of callers have been suboptimal, and I put total blame on Andrew Gunling.
No, I'm not going to go there.
How?
Just
he's
take
the one
L.
Screening it.
Yeah, but you also get a description of what the caller wants to talk about, and
right.
You took that last call that was going to talk about what you're wearing. So some of it's on
you,
too.
But why even put it up? Why even put it up? I thought that could be funny. I didn't think it was going to be psychotic.
I mean, we could go deeper than this. How deep do we want to go?
I don't think we should go any deeper.
Baseball calls bring out some special callers. That's all I'm going to say.
You know, you shouldn't have gone there. Mike Gaffney, our resident comedian, tweets out, your callers are like if Yelp reviews were audible, completely useless.
That's, yeah.
Mike Gaffney also writes, I think you guys need to disconnect the phone lines and only allow calls when you need a little injection of horse poop. Even the good callers are useless. Wow,
why isn't anybody disconnecting the call?
Let's go to the phones.
Okay.
Our good friend Spike in New Jersey. Spike.
Save us, Spike.
I'm going to save you, boys. First of all, I've got to thank you for another great week of programs. And that program 2 days ago, I know you were arguing, and Peter and Don, and there's a lot of shtick there with the age and the movies and the ratings. But you know what? For us laymen out here and lay ladies, it just was entertainment, man. That's what you provide, entertainment, cutting-edge entertainment.
Now,
here's my
thank
problem
you.
with okay, here's my problem with not a problem. I am really, really looking forward to the game tonight. I mean, big time. I say 6-3 does it. We could argue till the cows come home, as the saying goes. But I think the Yankees, you know, they've had streaks. Their inconsistency is their consistency, and everyone will agree with that. They got to tighten things up. But, you know, I made the point to Andrew that you got to be careful here. Now, I moved into the armpit of COVID. Tampa's coming up for the last three. And someone mentioned at the beginning of the show, someone on The View was pulled off. I believe the vice president was on and then tested positive. I know last visit or two visits back, you guys, jog my memory, when Tampa came up or Miami came up, a bunch of Yankees got infected. Would that be right?
No, the Yankees went down there.
Okay.
They had three games in Miami, three games in St. Pete.
Right, okay, right. And how many guys were on the shelf? Five or six?
Yeah, but I mean, that might have been spiked. That might have been a situation where, you know, they went out in Florida. I don't think they got it from the Tampa Bay Rays. Tampa Bay Rays didn't have that many exposures.
But Spike makes a really good point. When they go to Tampa for those last three games, Michael.
No, it's in Yankee Stadium.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, so you don't have to worry about it.
There you go. Well, let's go to Jared in Williamsburg. Jared. The show's melting down, Jared.
You don't have to worry about you don't have to worry about it, Don. Look, how y'all guys doing? I know y'all are well. Don.
Yes.
So I was looking at your rant last night. Garbage. Look at this garbage. I was looking at that one last night.
Classic.
I saw you get up and walk out of the studio. What did you go do after you left?
That's a good question. I don't remember what I did. Andrew, do you remember? Did I just, like, walk it off? I think I might have just walked it off.
When was
I don't think I went anywhere.
Look at this garbage! Look at this garbage!
And I
walked around and got some steps. Like, think I went anywhere specific.
You're big on steps at that time.
Do you know, Peter, we've talked about the pen used to drive me nuts.
Yeah.
The orange used to drive me nuts.
The steps,
and I got to be honest, the steps just infuriated me. I wanted to break his leg. It just infuriated me.
But then I wasn't there.
What do you mean you weren't there?
Where was I? I would usually.
Yeah, but we would see you.
You would get up like some person who was possessed and have to like walk mindlessly around the office. It drove me nuts. It just drove me nuts. I wanted to kill you,
Peter. This is the worst of the three. All right, I can see the pen irritating you. I don't really get the orange, but maybe the way I ate it bothered you. Me leaving the studio and then coming back before break?
Yeah, because sometimes we talk about things that we're going to talk about next, and you're out there, like, you know, fast walking.
No, I don't understand that. I understand getting annoyed if you went out and watched him walking. Like, when you watched him do it, he looked like such a lunatic.
I watched him once, so every time he left, I knew that's exactly what he was doing.
It reminds me, my dad does that, like, in his in their house, which is not big. He just, like, walks in circles downstairs. It's – I don't know if it's doing what people hope it does.
It doesn't do anything.
Well, walking's not good for
you? No, no. Walking is good for you, but you have to walk in 20-minute intervals. Everybody says any kind of exercise that's less than 20 minutes is not optimal. Doesn't do anything except annoy me.
I don't care. Annoy somebody to this extent is
I've held it back forever. It's something that drove me crazy. Let's go to Arnold in New Jersey. Arnold.
Arn.
All right, so that's working out great. Let's go to Dan and Bethpage. Dan.
Hello.
Hello, Dan.
Here we go.
Hey, Michael. How you doing?
Good.
Peter, Don.
Hey, pal. How the hell are you?
Doing well, Peter, doing well.
Good.
So 2 points. One, I just wanted to weigh in. I know the topic's been kind of kicked to death, but on the Yankee-Met fan thing. I'm a Yankee fan. I'm 44 years old. I cried when the Red Sox beat the Mets in 86 because I knew I had to go to school and deal with all the gloating Met fans. So for a Yankee fan to be upset that the Red Sox didn't win the World Series, you know, it just shows the hatred and of the Mets.
Thank you.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. No. It's and incidentally, grew up as a slight Cardinal fan. My grandfather and late uncle and living uncle were Cardinal fans, and I bring that up because my uncle was the one that I was the one that did the cameo that Don did the cameo for, and if you recall, you guys randomly played it on the air.
Oh yeah.
And for my uncle's birthday, and he called back in, and I have to say, you know, I know he thanked you, Don, but he told me he was on hold with you guys, so I recorded it. So he had the cameo and the recording of his phone call, and I think he probably smiled for about 3 months straight.
Oh, that's awesome. That's cool.
So thanks for that again.
But that's somebody from Bethpage, right, who probably had to go to school with a lot of Met fans, and that was me growing up in North Jersey having to go to school and all my friends being Yankee fans. Now, maybe it's if you grow up in the Bronx and you only know Yankee fans and you're 40 years old and the Mets have been harmless for your entire life, then, yeah, maybe you don't have any kind of passion towards the Mets at all. But there was a time. You think Yankee fans really appreciated the Mets walking around town, be having all the superstars, winning a championship, being the best team in baseball? No, they were probably sickened by it.
Now, Peter, I think you know this, that Joe Rogan brings the Sacred Clown Tour to the Garden on Saturday, yes. October 2nd. Peter's going to be there. Stay tuned to the Michael Kay Show today for two chances to score a pair of tickets. Brought to you by Madison Square Garden. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
I'm so excited. In fact, if I have to, I'll get there on horseback.
Really?
Yep. I'm willing to ride a horse to the Joe Rogan Show.
How about horse poop, like Andrew?
I don't know if I'm that excited.
All right.
I'm so jacked up right now, I need to eat this horse poop.
It is a big, big, big football weekend coming up. Week 3, both the Giants and the Jets are winless. Do they have a win in their bones? We'll come back. We'll break it down. More of your scintillating phone calls. It's Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Michael Kay Show.
So the Yankees now have Gerrit Cole on the mound against Nathan Eovaldi. Tony Maserati, who does an afternoon show on WEEI in Boston, said, well, what do you think about this series? And my answer to him was this. I don't know. They can easily come into Boston and sweep the Red Sox. I would not be surprised. And they could easily come into Boston and lose all three games. And I would not be surprised. I just don't have a feel.
Tonight is so huge because of who's on the mound. And I know momentum isn't supposed to mean anything in baseball. But even if he threw out, well, the reason there's no momentum is because it's all about the next day's starting pitcher. Well, the next 2 days, the Yankees do not start pitchers as good as Gerrit Cole. Cole was brought here to win the big game.
The Michael Kay Show.
I speak to Mike.
Yeah, oh, sure, he's here.
You're talking,
to him.
On 98.7 ESPN.
The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Now, Dan Reilly tweeted, the past 30 minutes, strictly based on entertainment of listening to these callers, has been, in a word, gold, Jerry, gold. So people like train wrecks, I guess. If you just joined us, this is my first game that I'll be doing on the road in 2 years. So the last time I actually was on a plane was on March 13th of 2020, coming back from Tampa, when we were told to leave Tampa because this virus was a serious thing. So I drove up here rather than take a plane, which was my option, or go on a train, being in like a sealed tin can for 5 hours. I didn't think that was smart, so I drove. So I parked the car at the hotel, and I left today, and I'm going to walk to Fenway Park because the hotel's somewhat walking distance, and I'm in fabulous shape, so handle it.
Totally.
And I walk outside, and I'm walking for about 5 minutes, and all of a sudden the sky opens up. It starts pouring. Mm-hmm. So rather than mess up this, you know, this Boston-themed outfit that I have on, I jumped into a cab. Now, I'm wearing a mask, and the cab driver has a mask on, too. And if you're watching on Yes, I'll show you exactly what he did.
Okay.
He wore his mask like this, as if he was in traction. Now, what exactly does that do? And there's a part of me that wanted to get out of the cab, but I didn't want to get soaked either. Why do you wear a mask under your chin? Do you think you're wearing a mask? Do you have a double chin and you're trying to, like, you know, obscure it? What exactly is the point? Another thing for all the people that, you know, kind of quote-unquote wear masks. This is not wearing a mask. If your nose is out, you're still spreading germs and you're spreading COVID. The mask has to be over your nose and your mouth. Nose and your mouth.
Can I
give a hot
take?
Don't put your mask underneath the chin. It's stupid.
I'm going to give a hot.
Please, give me a hot take.
I get very annoyed when people are wearing a mask, but it's below their nose.
Yeah.
But I think that's only bad for them.
I think they could shoot COVID out of their nose.
Maybe, but I think it's worse for them inhaling than it is them blowing COVID out of their nose. I suppose.
Well, how about the cab driver with you know, the harness around his neck?
Well, that just doesn't make sense. That means he has it there, and if some jerk like you, in his eyes, right, tells him to put it on, he will. But he doesn't want to.
What a world. I mean, can we all get on the same page one way or the other? Either take him off or put him on.
But, you know, in defense of this individual who I do not know, all right?
His name was Bill.
Bill. In defense of Bill. I think people
that's
in
the name of Don's 13th biography.
In defense of Bill?
In defense of Bill.
Right.
I don't know. I picture it a movie and George Harrison's, not George Harrison, Harrison Ford is the lead. But anyway, when you're in that situation,
right,
there's probably people that get in a cab and go, take the stupid mask off for God's sakes. And then there's people that get in the cab and go, will you put your mask on, please? And he probably doesn't know what the heck to do, driver to driver, pickup to pickup. Because he probably gets abused either way. So he probably has it on kind of waiting for you to say, put your mask on, or what the heck are you doing with your mask? And you didn't say anything, so he probably just left it on his chin because he figured he's somebody that maybe normally would not wear it. But
he's
I do feel bad for people in the service industry because, you know, Abigail works at a grocery store, and she's telling me stories about people. Like, well, one customer will, like, scream at her, what are you wearing your mask for? This is ridiculous. And she'll say, well, because it's store policy. And then somebody else will go and say, you know, you're not wearing it right, or why are you even working here? Like, it's just back and forth. It's probably very confusing because he's probably getting it both ways every single time he stops his cab. So I give him the benefit of the doubt.
Important question. Did he have glass between you?
Yeah, but it was wide open. And the windows were closed because it was pouring. So there was COVID just rifling through that cab. Hopefully my mask stopped it.
Why didn't you tell him to put up the glass between
because
you?
I don't ever want to be that jerk, although I'll be that jerk on the show. The guy has a hard enough job. But from Don's hot take, which I think is a poo-poo take, that book's not selling, Peter. It's an awful take.
That's an awful take?
In defense of Bill. Does he even want to protect himself?
He's probably – maybe he got vaccinated and he feels he's good.
All I'm saying is that it's probably very confusing. It was confusing for me at the beach bash. Do I take the picture with the mask on? Do I take it with it all? I can understand that there are certain people especially if they're vaccinated. Things are getting better. It's a very weird world out there where you got some people on one side, some people on the other side, and you're kind of like in between. And he got caught in between. And in between here is when you're wearing it as a chin strap. Give the guy a break.
No. What if I come down with it now because of Bill?
Well, then it's your fault because you should have told him to put it on.
Well, that's I had fair. A mask on.
Well, if you're complaining about him not having the mask on, you should have said, you got in the cab, you're paying him.
How about this for a hot take? You ready? It's unbelievable. So I read this, the Mike Gaffney stuff, and then a friend of Mike's replies, wait a minute, Michael's complaining about phone calls, and then the next call, he goes to Spike for the save? What's going on here?
That's not right. I'm not going to get behind that.
I'm not either. I love Spike. Spike can call whenever he likes.
Wow. People love going up and in on Spike, huh?
People love going up and in. Let's be honest. They love going up and in.
Listen, you know
chin
exactly.
Music.
Well, here's the thing. Whether you love or hate Spike, you know exactly what you're getting. And I
Spike.
Think at that particular moment, we needed some sort of consistency.
And he gave it to us.
Yeah.
Who do you think is more likely to win this week? Jets or the Giants? I'll go first. Giants.
Absolutely.
Do you think the Jets have a chance to win this game?
No.
None. It's 10.5 right now.
Well, that tells you all you need to
do
know.
Do you think they have a chance to cover? I'm not taking that game anyway. But
I thought about it,
and here's why I would probably pick the Jets, Don. It's a high number, but a low over-under number. So that Vegas thinks there's not going to be a high-scoring game. So you got to score a lot of points to cover 10.5 unless you shut the Jets out.
Well,
that's on the table, isn't it?
That's on the table.
Yeah, it's good defense. I mean,
they were just
home
and scored 6 points. So I was talking to somebody who was like outraged by the line. Can't believe
it. Wait, outraged in what way? And one second, Don. Yeah. I just want to tell everybody this gangrene report brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Please,
great job.
Thank you.
They were outraged by the line, thinking it was way too high. All right, 10.5. Are you kidding me?
Then why
is Denver so good? They beat the Giants and the Jaguars. And I explained to them, I said, well, first of all, it's the home opener for Denver. Traditionally, that's a tough place for road teams to play. And you look at the 10.5 as being like, oh, my God, that's so many points. The final score could be 14-3, and they cover.
Correct.
You know, so do I think that Bridgewater against this defense at home can score, 14, 20, 21 points? Yeah. I think we can compliment the Jets' defense, thought they played well, and give up north to 17 points. Do I feel comfortable they're going to Denver, the Jets, and scoring more than maybe 7 or 10? No. So that final score could be 21-10, 14-3, and the Jets are competitive, and they're in it, and they're trying an onside kick with like 5 minutes to go in the game, and Denver still covers. But I'm still not going to touch it. But as far as winning the game, that's a really, really tough spot. Denver home opener. They are 2-0, even though they didn't really play anybody. But, that's a really tough spot for any rookie quarterback, especially one coming off a 4-interception game.
Now, Robert Saleh was asked, will you learn about your team and its identity this week? Here's the Jet coach.
It's not going to be all end-all game, right? But every time you step on the field, you're creating your identity. You're establishing who you are. And right now, these guys have shown resolve. They've shown to be able to bounce back and to take coaching and to be engaged and to ask questions. So that hasn't stopped. You're seeing a group of men that have shown no signs of quit, and we shouldn't. I mean, it's the first two games of the year. But yeah, the deeper we get, the more the identity is going to shape itself in our style and in the way we respond to negative things.
I don't know what it's going to show. This is not a good team. It's a work in progress. I don't know how many games they're going to win this year. I mean, if they win 5 games, would you consider it successful if Zach Wilson's standing at the end of the year? Well, I guess so, right?
And all I ask is that we look at him in December and say, boy, is he a much better quarterback than he was in September. And maybe you win 5 games. And I think that would be fine. Just make sure that you're not embarrassing yourself like you were at times last year. And that you're getting better each game.
Dennis in Brooklyn has something to say about the Jets. Dennis?
Hey, guys, great show. Listen, here's the thing. When is Joe Douglas going to be exposed as the biggest fraud GM ever? Forget Donald's 3-0. Forget we have no backup. This kid could throw another next two games, he could throw four picks. We don't have a backup. Forget the Mims thing. Forget the offensive line. There's no weapons. Mm-hmm. You know how many active players from the last draft? The last draft were active against the Pats game from the last draft? One. That's it. One guy was dressed from the last draft. That shows you all you have to know about Joe Douglas. He's a fraud, and I don't know why people don't take him to account, make him more accountable. It's a joke what he's done. He doesn't know nothing. This team is not even competitive. It's a joke. They're going to get rolled.
You got Jamal Adams right.
Crazy.
But Dennis,
and ready to go.
But
he's gone, right?
Yeah, but he's saying Don's saying trading him. He got it right.
Well, he won't sign him, right?
He didn't want to. So he didn't think he was worth it.
Not sign him anyway.
But they won that trade.
Right?
They won the trade.
The Jets won that trade.
Okay.
Listen, you can be down on him, but to say he's the worst thing ever, that's you're exaggerating. He's not. You can be frustrated by his drafts, which has only been two, by the way.
Well, what he's done is
he
cleaned out.
One guy dressed last week.
He cleaned out the mess that Mike Maccagnan left. So that's part of the heavy lifting. I mean, come back to me in like a year or two. I mean, you're gonna just completely dismiss this guy? He hasn't been there that long.
I've got no problem if a Jet fan wants to complain about Joe Douglas. There were some valid points that the caller made, but to say he's a fraud, that he's the worst general manager ever, come on, give me a break. Guy hasn't been here long enough to be able to determine that. Has the drafts been great? But, you know, Mims still could end up being something.
He did make some compelling points, though.
Although it is kind of funny, like, listening to Robert Saleh. Robert Saleh is such a positive guy. Like, he says he's excited for the way Mims has practiced. Excited. But it's a game-time decision on whether he plays or not. Like, he's so behind Mims and yet still won't play him. But I don't think the jury's out on him yet.
That's what he puts forward, and I appreciate that. But I'll tell you what, though, in the caller, we all like Joe Douglas. By the way, this really speaks to how much personality helps. Because when you look at what this Jets football team is, and you think about the shortcomings they've had, it'd be very easy to dislike Joe Douglas as much as Dave Gettleman is disliked. But personality does protect Douglas to some degree. This team is awful. And to the caller's point, depending on what happens here with Denzel Mims, if he like can't get on the field again, like they can't use him as a valuable starter.
Yeah.
It's a monstrous failure.
But listen, I don't want that caller to represent all of Jetville, but you're going to start to see all this positivity around Saleh and Douglas and the organization going in the right direction. It's going to start to wane after loss after loss after loss. I mean, you're already two when you're starting to see it.
Well, the only thing that I'm concerned about with Douglas is the offensive line doesn't look great.
No,
and that's
doesn't.
Supposed to be his thing.
That's right.
That's a little concerning.
That's what I say. I think the caller made some very valid points. But to just call him a fraud and he's the worst thing ever, give me a break. I mean, you should know what the worst thing ever looks like. They've had plenty of general managers that were the worst ever.
And coaches.
Yes, so let's wait and see how this all works. I think everybody should look at this beyond wins and losses this season. Saleh's basically telling you that in every interview and every cut we play from him. This is not about wins and losses, just trying to get better as a team, and hopefully they'll start to win some games. But they want to win the game in Denver, but they're looking at other things because they're starting from scratch here.
Don, who's a worse coach, Hanley or Gase?
Oh, I think Gase.
Really?
Well, the Giants are coming off winning a Super Bowl, but they were 8-8 the first season, and they were
7-9 the first season with Gase.
Yeah, neither got jobs after. Yeah, I will probably say Hanley was better, but really, that's not saying a lot.
Isn't that amazing that those two coaches coached in New York? That's the Gang Green Report brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Try Truly Hard Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram sugar, 5% alcohol, and 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, please drink responsibly. Please do that, Don. Drink responsibly.
I try to.
I do well.
Let's go to our good friend. We love this man, Harry in Englewood. Harry.
Hey.
Oh, thank you, gentlemen, for taking my call again. I haven't bothered you guys for a long time because it's so tough to get in.
Well, you're never a bother.
Oh, thank you. First and foremost, I wish the very best for Tim McCarthy on his future endeavors.
Very kind.
I know he's leaving ESPN after many, many successful years. I had the great pleasure of meeting Tim and his lovely wife at the summer bash and whatever organization, I'm getting choked up, organization he ends up with, they will have a winner.
Can I tell you, can I make one correction, Harry, before I let you go on?
Sure.
Leaving sure. gives the impression that he's doing it on his own volition. He's not.
Yeah, I didn't think he was.
Yeah.
I didn't. Okay.
And it's much to all of our consternation.
I know you always spoke very highly of him, and I know why after I met him. And now to Don, another apology. Whenever I call, I'm apologizing to you. When you high-fived me at the bash, my back was turned. I would never refuse your high five. And I have the video to prove it.
Well,
I'd high five you anytime, any place.
I know.
Because you're a special person.
Harry, and I think the same of you. But the fact that you didn't high five me was actually very good for the show. So yeah. I'm willing to make that sacrifice.
Okay. All right. Now, Michael, you are perfect. Although I disagree with you one time when your comments on Voight four-letter outburst when striking out. When young people and ladies are present, that's not acceptable. And I was surprised you didn't take a firmer stand on that one.
Well, here's why, Harry. I mean, he's playing in front of 30,000 people. And the only thing that victimized him is that there are great audio mics that sometimes catch things on the field. He's not cursing in front of children. He's cursing in the heat of battle. I mean, would I do it? Yeah, no, but yeah. I'm not going to excoriate him for it.
Okay, I'll accept that. And you're still perfect. Now, Peter, my buddy.
Yeah.
Although I dislike, in fact, I hate boxing and wrestling and dislike hip-hop, I still love you.
Thank you.
And you're being such an asset to the MK show, which means Michael K. I wish I was 10 years younger so I could get back on the tennis court and hit balls with you. And that's my comment for today. And thank you for listening.
Thank you, Harry. Cool. And I'm sure Tim also appreciates your kind words. I think that
what a mensch.
If 10 years younger, Harry would smash a tennis ball right into your face.
Well, he might beat me. I don't know if he'd want to injure me.
He's not Dave Rothenberg.
Real competitors, they're looking to hit the ball right in your face.
And that's how you see Harry getting down.
I think Harry's a scrapper.
Well, it would be a shame if he invited me to be nice and then slammed a tennis ball into my face. But if it happens, it happens.
Tell you, that call made up for the first hour of the awful calls.
I mean, that's a lot to make up, Don.
I know, but that's the kind of guy he is.
Hey, why don't we take a look before we take a break at this day in Yankee history?
Looking forward to it.
It's brought to you by Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi. We go back to 2004. So after he gives up five runs in the Red Sox 6-4 loss to the Bombers at Fenway Park, Pedro Martinez tells the media, "They beat me. They're that good right now. They're that hot. I just tip my hat and call the Yankees my daddy." The words will come back to haunt Pedro when the fans begin chanting, "Who's your daddy?" Time he takes the mound in New York during the ALCS.
He did have the last laugh, though.
They won that year.
Yeah.
That's This Day in Yankee History, brought to you by Woodbridge, a proud sponsor of the New York Yankees. Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi, making classic wine for over 40 years.
Although the Red Sox did, but I'm not sure Pedro did, because one of the lasting memories of that Game 7 in 04, the blowout, they brought Pedro in. Like I almost because you didn't have to worry about it. The score was so much in favor of Boston, and the Yankees still hit him. Remember that?
Yeah.
But I still think he was happy the way it turned out.
That's the way you'd root. This portion of the Michael K Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by the great Pepe Auto Group. And I mean that. Mm-hmm. Visit Mercedes-Benz of White Plains, a proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, the name that you've trusted, the name that I've trusted since 1968. I started trusting them when I was seven. That's how much I trust them. In 1968, I was seven. You do the math. That makes me 50 now.
I'm 57. I'll be 53 next Saturday.
Great tweet from Carlin, by the way. Did you see this?
No, what did the big fella tweet?
Everyone's ignoring the offseason surgery that Sam Darnold had as a major factor in his development this year. Since he had that 185-pound growth known as Adam Gase removed, he's been flourishing.
That's so.
You know what? Chris is becoming really snotty.
Well, that thing he's doing with the callers, I think, is very funny.
Very
did you see
funny.
That on Twitter?
I love the videos with the callers. I love them.
That he's a very angry guy.
I wasn't that into that joke, but I love the bits on the
I believe he's really exposing himself as really angry.
Excuse me?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I am a fat flounder.
Let's talk some Giants when we get back. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
I'll never hear this song without thinking of Stephen A.
Can't do it.
I'm sorry. It's the only way to do it.
Only way.
Well, Joe Rogan, Peter knows this, brings the Sacred Clown Tour to the Garden on Saturday, October 2nd. All you have to do is be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN to score a pair of tickets. Brought to you by Madison Square Garden. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. And if you don't win this time, well, make sure you're listening in the 6 p.m. hour because you'll have another chance then.
Can I call in and win the tickets?
No, you're not.
You're going to go in on horseback, you said.
But can I win them from the station?
I don't think you can, no. I don't think you can. Okay. It's time for the Big Blue Report. Brought to you by Resorts World Catskills. They will be playing the Falcons, the Pete Falcons, on Sunday, and it's a three-point spread. It was 2.5. A lot of people jumped on the Giants, so it's moved to 3. Don, how do you see this one playing out?
This is going to be
epic. Lit.
This is going to be a game that really favors the Giants. Everything that went wrong still does not take away from the fact that Jones played well. Shepard has continued to be a major weapon. And this Falcons defense is awful. So, I mean, we know Washington's defense, although it had not played well the previous week, or really even well on Thursday, is still better than Atlanta's. And Denver's defense is pretty good, too. So this is going to be the easiest defense they're going to face. They're going to be home in what I believe is a must-win situation. I think their season's over if they lose this game. Not mathematically, but emotionally, when you're winning.
I would agree.
Yeah, you're a well-rested team, right? And hopefully they learn from the losing. And I think go after it. Go out and play well. And I think there are style points. Hey, I just take the win to stay alive, but I'm not going to feel great if they win this game, 10-9. And they got lucky on a missed field goal at the end of the game. This is a game where go out there, score north of 24 points, win this game 30-14, and make me feel like there's something to root for this season.
Well, even if they win 10-9, okay, the season moves on and you could feel okay. Hmm. But if they lose this game, Don, I mean, where do they turn? The schedule just is not in their favor. Well,
here's where I disagree. All right, yeah, 10-9, you're 1-2. But who are you beating?
See, I agree.
I love when people say style points. Well, style points matter because you assess what your team is.
But you can think that your team will get better somewhere along the line.
Well, you hope.
Right.
But Michael, I would feel I would probably feel worse beating the Falcons 10-9 than I did last week because at least there were some aspects of the game you felt like you did some good things. It just, all right, you made some mistakes and you shot yourself in the foot, but overall, you clean those things up, and you're still a team that went out there and played well. But if you go out there and barely beat the Falcons, then I'm not sure you played well. And how many games are you going to win when the one of the worst teams that you might play all year? It might play out that way.
is a team that you barely beat. So how are you beating the Cowboys? How are you beating Washington again? How are you going to beat, you know, Kansas City and Los Angeles Rams and all the teams you have to face on your schedule if one of the games that no matter how badly you feel about the team, you felt this was going to be the win? So I think it kind of does matter how they play.
Yeah, but you agree, Peter, if you get the win, though, you've got some maneuverability to tweak some. If you get the loss, you're working from zero sum. Oh, the thing that concerns me, I wonder what you think, Peter. Why is it three? This is the worst defense in football. They just scored 29 points against a really good defense. Why is it three?
That's a good question. But I was going to say, Don, to your point, it's the reverse of the Washington game. That, you know, you could lose and feel better. And frankly, with the exception of the mistakes, I think the loss to Washington, I don't think Giants fans felt worse after that loss than they did prior. They may have been angry about the mistakes made, but at least they felt better about Daniel Jones. But the exact opposite could be true this week. If you happen to get by Atlanta just because they're terrible and you win 13-10 and Jones is bad again, you don't feel any better. Getting the first W doesn't mean anything. This team's not going to the Super Bowl. What I would like to see from the Giants this week is they offensively play the way they played against Washington, tighten up the mistakes, and beat Atlanta convincingly.
Yeah, you would think the spread would be higher, but I guess for a team that is 11-30 in their last 41 home games, 0-2 for the eighth time in the last 9 years, it's probably hard for Vegas to believe that you can make them any more than a 3-point favorite. And even though they made him a 2.5, and it looks like a lot of money's going towards the Giants, it moved a half a point. So I'm sure that a lot of people are like, I'm just going to stay away from having to pick this game.
I think it's a massive game for week three. It just is. I mean, we all know that the Jets are not having a good season. I mean, the coach pretty much admits it every week. The Giants are supposed to have a good season. Not a great season, but a good one. They're supposed to go, I don't know, 10-7 at least, 9-8.
That was probably the high end of it,
right?
But you felt like in what could be a winnable division, being alive in December, playing some meaningful games. If you went 9-8 and the quarterback looked good, and with a third wild card added to each conference, that you might be a playoff team.
By the way, do you see that tweet that Anthony sent us earlier about the playoffs?
Yeah, yes. How about that?
Yeah.
The super wild card weekend this year is going to include a playoff game on Monday Night Football. That's fantastic.
It might not be fantastic for the team that's in the Monday night game and then has to play Sunday. I hope that they... Well,
yeah, but sometimes you have to play Sunday then Saturday, no?
Yeah. So I think what you would have to do, though, is make it that the winner of that Monday game does not play the following Saturday.
Right.
And if that's the case, then it's the same as if you had to play Sunday and then the following Saturday. I like it. But I also do like having all those games, the three games on Saturday and Sunday, but with the extra playoff spot, I guess to add the extra day is good.
Now, Smush Parker just tweets, Michael K. always wants to get on callers for not talking right away on the line, but TMKS just came back and there were no words for 30 seconds. Then goes back to commercial and rejoins mid-show. But I bet Michael would freak out if people criticized for that. No, I didn't even know what happened. Did it happen?
I didn't know.
I'm glad you said it, Smush. I mean, if you're not doing something right, we have to correct it. Something happened. I mean, did that happen, Anthony?
Seems weird.
Yeah.
I didn't.
So,
but real quick, by the way, so the last week of the year, in our new beautiful 18-week season, Sunday, January 9th, okay, they did no Saturday on that weekend. It's a full Sunday slate the last week of the year. When was the last time they did that?
It's a little odd.
Wait, yeah, and the week before, no Saturdays either.
Interesting.
Well, that is today's Big Blue Report, brought to you by Resorts World Catskills. Bet on sports, play live table games, and stay in their all-suite hotel. It all starts at rwcatskills.com.
Now, looking at their schedule, I don't want to play the win-loss-loss-loss-win game. But the reason
It wasn't on radio. It was on TV. The camera froze, so they went to break.
Okay, that happens.
Right.
And it's obviously beyond our control. But looking at the schedule, you looked at and said, all right, what are the games the Giants have to win based on the quality of opponent? A home game against the Falcons were one of those games. A home game against Carolina was too, but now that looks differently. Right? The home game against the Raiders, but now that looks different. So outside of the game against Atlanta, what, Philadelphia? They always give you trouble. Miami? And that's at Miami? At Chicago? Like, those were the games that looked winnable. That Charger game in L.A. looks like a loss. The Chargers look great. So even if they win this game going away, guys, there's not a lot of teams where they're going to be, like, even the favorites going into the game. The Saints look kind of up in the air. It depends on, I guess, what day you look at them. But if you can't beat Atlanta, who on their schedule are you beating?
You're right. That's why it's huge. Let's try to squeeze in one more call before we go to break. Rachel and Elizabeth. Rachel.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hello?
Yeah.
I'm all right. How about you?
Good.
Quick question. Well, it's more of a like an add, you know, addition to it. A few days ago, you were talking about Gary Sanchez and how he was doing the one knee and he was messing everything up. To my recollection, I remember a playoff in which they lost because of his one knee and the ball literally slipped behind him and he fell on his butt.
Right.
Do you remember that at all?
I don't recall that exact thing, but it has been an issue. And what they've done, Rachel, is that they have traded the ability to block pitches as a wild pitch or a pass ball for his ability to frame. That's what they've done. I think they know the limitations of it because if you notice, Kyle Higashioka, same catching coach, does not catch on one knee. That's a choice they've made. I'm sorry. That's a choice they've made. 1-800-919-3776. When we come back, Marty Lyons is going to join us. Really, really sweet of Marty and what he's going to do. And, well, stick around to find out what because, you know, Marty's just a great guy, very charitable. And we love him, so he's going to join us in just a moment right here on Yes on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.